I think it's sad that for a lot of people, prayer has become religious exercise. You know, and I think about going to the gym, and Brennan will be the first to say I was not a keen gym attender. It was something I did because I felt like, you know, it's just, well, I got a physical body, so I got to do something with it. And prayer was that for me spiritually. I got a spirit, so I guess God wants me to do something. It was just labored. Maybe it's my scientific mind, but for all the other scientific minds out here, I believe that step prayers are useful because they help us find correlations. So if any of you have studied any kind of science, you are familiar with the word correlation, which is simply trying to find the specific cause of a certain effect. So what's causing that noise, you know? And you have to, and you're trying to find a specific cause for that noise. That's all the scientific method really is. It comes down to isolating variables. Well, here's the trouble I find. If you pray too broadly, God may or may not be answering your prayers, but maybe it would have just happened anyway, right? And so there's this little part of you that goes, did my prayer actually do that? Or worse, you pray so for something so big that God may be slowly unveiling a plan to answer that prayer, but you kind of lose heart and interest before you ever see the prayer answered. And so in effect, you never see the correlation of your prayer between what's actually going on in the world. We want to know, do our prayers do anything? In science, they're constantly isolating variables. And you don't want prayer to just become scientific, but I like seeing observable phenomenon, right? I want to see that my prayers move things. What does the scripture say about step prayers? Well, in the technical, strictest sense, it doesn't say anything. You won't find the term step prayers anyway. But there's a couple of principles that I want to draw out that I think point us in the direction of step prayers. First one, Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And the simple principle that I want to pull out of that is God wants you to ask. God has made it a part of his plan for you to ask. Let's go on to the next one. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James 4:2-3 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Okay, so we have a qualifier here now. What I see this telling us is that God has hinged his plan on our asking. People say, well, God's in total control. God knows all things. So then how can prayer do anything? Well, I don't completely know the answer, but it's very clear from the Bible that God makes certain things wait for us to ask for them. And if we do not ask, we do not get them. So God's plan hinges on our asking, but, and James 4 reminds us, that our asking must also hinge on God's plan. You see what's happening here? It's a two-way street. If you're praying for things that are not in God's good and perfect will, don't expect them to be answered. God is a giver of good gifts. If you're asking for a Lamborghini, it's dicey. It's dicey. I've thought about it many times. I've never actually asked for one. It's my favorite car, by the way. Not all good gifts, or what we call good gifts, come from God. In other words, this is something that scares me sometimes in the church. I see people, every time they go in and get something really big, buy something new, they say, God gave this to me. I'm a little tentative about that. Don't assume that because you consider it a good gift that God gave it to you. If it doesn't fit into God's plan, maybe you just got it for you. Maybe in a sense you used what God did give you, which he intended to be given elsewhere or spent elsewhere on yourself. And that's what James 4 is cautioning us on. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. What this tells me is that our being still is necessary somehow for God to be exalted in the earth. What's the connection between whether or not you and I be still and whether or not God is exalted in the earth? Well, I'll tell you, this is how I look at it. If we are constantly doing things or trying to do things to make God's will happen, but we never ask for God to make his will happen, even if it comes to pass, God may not get the glory. God wants to be exalted in the earth by being asked for things when we be still. I think that's his way of saying, calm yourself in the presence of the Lord. I believe prayer is implied here. And in so doing, you ask for the things God wants to grant, and when he gives them to you, he gets exalted. Perhaps you've heard the saying, God helps those who help themselves. Can anybody give me the Bible reference on that? It's not in there. A lot of people say, well, you know, the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. It's not in there. It's a 1700 or 18th century saying made popular by Benjamin Franklin. There is something to it. There's something to it. God often asks us to work out our salvation. But God is also saying there are some things that will only be moved by prayer. And if you do not pray, they will not happen, no matter how hard you push on them. We talk about the serenity prayer. A number of you know that prayer. We've prayed it here before. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to do the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You live out the stuff that you can change, but be fully aware that you can't change everything, but that some of what you cannot change, God isn't expecting you to. He wanted to do it himself. He's just waiting for somebody to ask him. Let God be God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says this: bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not room enough to store it. Well, you might say, well, this has nothing to do with asking God. Is this a shameless plug because the pastor wants more money? Is this about tithing? Is he taking? No. The reason I bring this up is not for the factor of tithing as much as the factor of testing. As far as I know, this is the only time in the Bible that God gives us permission to put him to the test. Normally, the Bible says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. But God gives us permission to test him in this area. And notice the terms of his test. They are very specific. He says, bring in a whole tithe. A whole tithe is a tenth. Very articulately. Not 1%, not 100%, 10%. Into the storehouse. The implied here in the context in which it was written was the Lord's house. And so for us, the practical working out of that would be to the church. That would be given to the church, not to Samaritan's Purse, not to the local food bank, not to the Lamborghini dealership. Those may be appropriate at some point or other, but that's not the test. The test is specific. If you want God to demonstrate his faithfulness in the area of your finances, bring 10% to this spot. That's the nature of a test. If it's not specific, you're not proving what you're trying to prove. Okay, so can we pray big picture prayers? Lord, bring peace on earth. Lord, save all of Bonnyville. Can we pray those prayers? Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with praying those prayers. However, they can start to feel to us trite and tiresome and maybe religious because you don't see it happening and you wonder, am I gaining anything or am I just wasting my breath? We as human beings like to see results, right? Don't we? Well, good news. God likes to show results. Remember Psalm 46:10? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. God wants to show up. God wants to do stuff. So let's ask him to do things that we can actually see happening. For me, thinking this way, I got this idea actually from the Steinbach Church. And for me, it's helped me in my prayer because it works in my mind a little bit like a strategy game. I don't know if any of you are into strategy games. Actually, I know some of you are into strategy games. And this is how it works for me. I don't know what God's will is, what his plan is. And so I start by listening. And again, the church at Steinbach talked a lot about listening prayer. Don't just start spouting. Listen and ask God what you're supposed to pray for in regards to a particular thing or a particular person. We start by listening, and I start to think to myself, Lord, if I want a person to get to hear, if I were you, God, how would I think they might get there? What would be step one and step two and step three? And then I pray step one. Does that make sense? And the cool thing is, since I've started to do that, this is only pretty fresh, 2 or 3 weeks for me, I'm praying some step prayers for some of you and for some people in my family, for some people in the community. And since I started praying step prayers, I'm starting to see my prayers answered. That's the cool thing. This is where the importance of a journal comes in. You write these things down so that, number one, you're consistent. You're praying for the same things repeatedly. You're applying your mind and your heart to these desires of the Lord. It helps you remember, because I don't know about you guys, my memory's terrible. And then it helps you praise. When they get answered, you go, yeah, that actually happened. Thank you, Lord. If you don't journal, you don't always remember what you asked for, and then God doesn't get exalted on the earth. And then, of course, we go to the idea of strength in numbers. And I was thinking of it this way. Amy's here. I think she will agree that often the restaurant that our family goes to when we're on the road is dictated by the loudest hoorays, or the anticipation of the loudest hoorays, right? It's not always a democratic process, but there's something about being parents. You just feel good when your kids get revved up about something, don't you? You want to make your children cheer. God is a good, good father. He wants to make his children cheer. If he can get more of us in the room to make a louder hooray when something happens, I believe he enjoys that as a good, good father. And so comes the idea of corporate prayer. And as Norma and I said, if any of you are feeling, again, like you don't know, you don't feel strong in this discipline, you want to learn from somebody else, and you want to be encouraged, and you want to see more prayers answered, well, I believe more prayers are answered when more people pray them. So come and gather and pray the same things with some other people. Please talk to Norma or myself. We'll start forming a list, and if we do decide we're going to pick a night or we're going to pick a day or something like that where we hope to get together, you'll be sure to be notified, okay? Step prayers. It's been so exciting for me. Hopefully, some of you will test the Lord in this way with these little steps. But for now, let's pray, and then we'll draw near to a close. Father, we do believe that you are a good, good Father. You let yourself be called a Father because you are the namesake of that great relationship. And I think any of us who had a good Father can say there's nothing better than that. And you delight in us, not because we are good. We all started delighting in our own children when they were pooping in their diapers and making a mess on the walls, but it never changed how much we delighted in them. And so, Lord, it's not for our good, but it's because of your good that you love us. And Lord, we want you to be exalted in the nations. And so teach us to be still, Lord. Help us in that. And for those of us who are struggling, like I have struggled and struggled for years and years, Lord, I just pray that others will humbly recognize their need to find a community of prayer, and that they will step up to this challenge, and that they will make room for that time, both in their personal lives and in our life together as a church. Lord, I just thank you for this family that you've drawn together and the prayers you've already begun to answer. And we just know we can trust you for all things in the future as well. In Jesus' name, amen.